radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. You want to jump in? You can. 713-780-3776 to call or text, as Voice Guy said on the HR&B. Listener line on YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN 975. You can get after us, too, on X or watch along on X at ESPN 975. At Gallant says at Sean A. Mapes, if you want to get in touch with both of us. On the gram at ESPN 975. We can keep on going. We got a Facebook page, too, at ESPN Houston. You can get in touch with us on the gram and on Facebook as well. That's Sports Gallant at Facebook.com/Paul Gallant Sports. Astros, Rangers, it's back. The rivalry is back on. And I feel like the only way for us to dive right back in is to go back to a segment that we stopped doing last year because the Rangers sucked. It's called Rangers Watch.
In the eyes of a ranger, the unsuspecting stranger had better know the truth of wrong from right. Cause the eyes of the ranger are upon you. Any wrong you do, he's gonna see. When you're in Texas, look behind you.
But also in front?
Cause that's where the ranger's gonna be.
Walker told me I had AIDS.
Now, technically, the Astros at this moment in time are ahead of the Texas Rangers by 0.001 points. Okay? I forgot that we had multiple opens for that. Listen.
It was a back-and-forth year where sometimes the Rangers were behind you, sometimes they're in front.
You never know. And I want the Astros to go into this weekend series, Sean, with the mentality that the Rangers are in front. Because guess what? Since the ALCS of 2023, which the Rangers won in 7, doesn't matter where the Astros are in the standings. The Rangers are in front. Now, what have the Rangers been this year? You take a look at them, this is one of the worst offenses in the American League. There is only one team that has scored less runs than them this year. The Chicago White Sox. And they've scored 6 more runs than the White Sox. That's it. They are tied with the Royals, get that, as far as fewest runs scored. But their pitching has been good. Good enough for them to win the last 5. And coincidentally, it was about a week ago that the Rangers, maybe a little bit longer than that, moved on from their hitting coach and hired Brett Boone. Yeah, that Brett Boone from the Seattle Mariners back in the day to be their hitting coach. So they have won 5 in a row since that moment in time. Everyone was, as the kids say, glazing them going into this year, saying, this is the year. And it might be, I don't know, it's early. I am very skeptical about the Seattle Mariners, who have lost 7 of 10 and who did pretty well to open the year offensively, but do seem to be coming back to earth. It also helps to play the Rockies, who the Rangers did just play 3 times in a row and swept them, 2-1, 4-1. And 8-3. But this is a team that has finally back Jacob DeGrom. There are names that you recognize across the lineup. And I do not think this will be a pushover series. I do think that the Astros are better suited playing the Rangers in Arlington. That's what we remember from the 2023 season. Because in that 2023 season, there was a series in September where the Astros just killed them. I even made a movie trailer about it. I declared the Rangers dead after this moment. A movie trailer I put together about the Texas Rangers Massacre.
1-0.
This is the movie that Rex Reed called the most horrifying motion picture I have ever seen.
4-0, Houston.
This film is positively ruthless in its attempt to drive you right out of your mind.
Houston has 8 home runs so far. Well, check that.
It accomplishes everything it sets out to do with brilliance and unparalleled terror.
Before we can really make ourselves comfortable tonight, We're uncomfortable. It's 8-0.
This is the horror movie to end them all.
Martin Maldonado has hit his second home run of the ball game. It's 12-1. Ball hit hard out to center field. That ends in the bullpen. Two more runs for Houston, and they lead it 14-1.
The Texas
Baseball
Massacre from New Line Cinema.
I mean, that's what the Astros did to him. That one series in Arlington, and I called the Rangers dead. Whoops. Did not age well. Did not age well. Astros' fault. I mean, they had that thing dead to rights. They had the AL West done at the beginning of September. And then they were like, all right, hey, Mariners, Rangers, want to come back in? Look, come on down. I think it's got a little dicey at the end of the year, but they were able to, at the very end of the game, at the end of the season.
Still won the division.
They stopped procrastinating. They put their batting helmet on, and they got to work. And they were able to fight their way to another American League West championship.
Unfortunately, though, that meant that they had home field advantage when they eventually played the Rangers.
Yes. I remember Astros-Rangers, the playoff series in 2023, for a lot of different reasons. First off, because my car got assaulted in the parking lot. Got assaulted. Just brand new car, just assaulted in the parking lot. But also because the Astros were down 2-0. After that Framber Valdez start, good God. But they go to Texas, they win game two, or excuse me, they win game three, they win game four, and they win game five with that Altuve clutch-ass home run, and I'm like, oh, no way the Rangers bounce back from this. But they did. They win game six, they win game seven. Game seven was a massacre. They go on to the World Series, which I did not watch at all. I saw some clips last night people were posting of, like, when the Rangers won the World Series. Can't believe my favorite team did this. And like dramatic music in the background as Adolis Garcia hit a walk-off home run in game one. I didn't know that there were walk-off home runs in that series. I truly just buried my head in the sand, did not watch a second of it. That led to a lot of gloating. First off, it led to gloating from a friend of the radio program. When we were on 10 to noon, we used to have this caller named Tab from Beaumont call in. Tab, if you are listening, we miss you. We haven't heard from you in a while. We hope you're doing well. I would like to do a wellness check for Tab. But Tab called in after the Astros lost to the Rangers, and he gloated. Season over. And people like this guy get to call in and gloat. 713-780-3776 to call in and text in. Let's just rip the Band-Aid off. Tab, congratulations to you. Oh, God, you suck. You suck. Congratulations to your Texas Rangers. He's giggling right off the top. I tip the hat to you. Only you. I would bow, but I'm sitting. Congrats on your win.
Yeah. And I do have a suggestion for Houston. This is going to be my biggest gig. I was going to lead off with singing We Are the Champions, but no, I'm going to leave that alone. But they are I don't know what... I know NRG is a company of some kind, you know, petroleum, whatever. But I think they are give it a true name. It's now Rangers Ground.
Oh. Yeah, it doesn't really work. It doesn't really work. Tab, we love you. Tab was so gleeful. Now, the obviously Astros play it, not NRG Stadium. They play it at the time, Minute Maid Park, now Daikin Park. I get where he was trying to go with there. And whatever. Tab is the one Rangers fan that we like. He's the one Rangers fan that we love. But, yeah. That was tough for me because I did kill the Rangers. Like, took them out back. Killed the Astros last year, too. Whoops. Maybe I should kill more things because they tend to come back as soon as I do it. Now, the worst part about losing to the Rangers really was this moment. Because remember, Alex Bregman, after the Astros were able to pull off the American League West championship at the end of the 2023 season, said, a lot of people were wondering what it would be like if the Astros weren't AL West champs. I guess we'll never know. Champagne pop. Boom. Well, Corey Seager, Rangers shortstop, did this at the Rangers World Series Championship Parade.
I just got one thing to say. You know, everybody was wondering what would happen if the Rangers didn't win the World Series. I guess we'll never know.
I hope this gets you angry, riled up, mad. I hope this bothers you. I hope that now you look at the Texas Rangers with the fire you used to? Because last year, let's be honest, Astros Rangers needed a little bit of Rize. R-I-I-Z-E. RizeHealth.com. Promo code 975. It needed a little boing. It needed to rise up. All right. It was lame. I think there were some fireworks and some fisticuffs and stuff last season, but last year was lame. The rivalry that had been dead for basically 8 years or so, since 2015, where they used to get into scuffles, and 16 as well, it had been dead for a while, and then it comes back, and you're like, yeah, all right, well, at the very least, I have someone new to hate, and then it was gone. So here's my question. 713-780-3776 to call, to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Among the sports teams you dislike, where do the Rangers currently rank? You answer that on the other side. It is the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in town, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975, the Gram at ESPN 975, and on Facebook at ESPN Houston. Stick around.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 975 and 92.5. Locked in with the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. You know how to get aboard. To call 713-780-3776. You can also text that number. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Or on Facebook at ESPN Houston. On the Gram at ESPN 975. You can get in contact with me on both of those. Facebook.com/Paul Gallant Sports. Also on the Gram at Sports Gallant. On X at ESPN 975 at Gallant Says. The question I have for you: where do the Rangers rank among teams you dislike? I'm seeing a lot of people talking the Rangers down. I mean, they did win a championship more recently than any Houston sports team, and they beat a Houston sports team to get there. Last year, they stunk. Sure, the defending champion belt, it's gone. That belongs to the Dodgers now, who I think a lot of us dislike more. Maybe we dislike New York Yankees more as well. But, I mean, it's an in-state rival. Some comments. First, from Sean Martinez: Rangers blow. Desert Strohs, one hit wonder. The Rangers. Fake Tony Stark: I will never care about the Rangers World Series. We're not talking about the Rangers World Series as much as we're talking about the Rangers. Like, do they make you mad? Do they get you going? He did say, I am excited about Hunter Brown versus Jacob DeGrom. I don't like regular season pitchers duels. I don't. Playoff pitchers duels, those are awesome. Regular season pitchers duels, eh. I mean, I've definitely seen some growing up. I think there was one between Houston's own Roger Clemens and Pedro Martinez that I was actually allowed to stay up for back in 1998 or 1999 or something. When I was, like 9 or 10 years old. I mean, that was fun. But I don't know. There's something about pitchers duels when you're 36. Where if it's the regular season, you're like, okay, I mean, respect to the pitchers, but I'm mad about the offense. I'm mad about that. But that's the game tonight. It's Hunter Brown against Jacob DeGrom. If you are in to pitchers duels, and DeGrom to open the season 3-1 with a 2.72 ERA. So he's at least looking like a plus pitcher. Maybe not the pitcher he was before the latest of his many injuries. Now 36 years old, DeGrom.
That's crazy.
I thought he was way younger than that. That jumped out to me when I was taking a look at his profile. I was like, wait a second, he's 36? I assumed Jacob DeGrom was like 31, 32 or something like that.
Yeah, I would guess like 32. That's it. I guess when you do miss, that, I don't know, 75% of the last five seasons or however much it is, like he hasn't been active for most of his early 30s, so I guess he's still in our brains, just in his early 30s, because we haven't seen him pitch in that long. But yeah, he's Do you think that the Astros, if this Astros team was different, you would enjoy the pitchers' duels a little bit more if it wasn't like, oh my God, this Astros offense might be the death of this team.
Yeah, I think that's it 100%.
There's just anxiety around, like, oh my God, these guys need to get it together.
Especially because of the pitching injuries, they just keep adding up. I mean, listen, the Astros get the most out of their pitchers, but you could also argue that their training staff, medical staff, are maybe at their worst with them. I mean, how long did it take to see Lance McCullers again? You've got Spencer Arrighetti dealing with something. You've got Hayden Wesneski out for the rest of the year. You got Christian Javier and Luis Garcia trying to come back from injuries. I have no idea what Jose Urquidy is doing or if he's even on the roster. I don't think he is, but I mean, that's another one where like the guy got hurt. JP France, is he still alive? Like, I mean, there's
Forrest
a lot
Whitley.
Of, right. That's good. We want that, but is he still pitching for the Astros? Is he going to be pitching for the Astros anytime soon? Because that was something else we were talked about. We had talked about this offseason. Are we going to see him? Yeah. And at this point with J.P. France, if he ever comes back to the major leagues, good for him. I'm not expecting much. But right now, Colton Gordon, who you had to DFA Taylor Scott to bring up. Scott was good for you at times last season. And A.J. Blubaugh are guys that you are forced to rely on in your rotation. So, yeah, you're getting the pitcher duel from time to time when you have a good outing from Fromber and you have a Hunter Brown performance, but you're asking a lot out of the starting pitching, and I just get stressed about how taxed that they might be potentially getting during an early season game where the offense is struggling to score runs, because outside of Jeremy Pena and Isak Paredes at home and Jake Myers, I guess, I don't know where the Astros offense is coming from. Yordan's banged up. And Altuve, of late, has not been Altuve. At least he was back in left field. Fake Tony Stark had this. Make Altuve great again. That is MAGA. I didn't know the hat was about making Altuve great again. We do want to make Altuve great again. But is that going to happen? I don't know. Is Yonder Diaz going to get back to what he was his rookie year? I don't know. Is Christian Walker just going to be this guy who strikes out a lot? I don't know, but it's trending that way. And then you got two rookies, and Cam Smith and Zach DiZenzo, who, like, any expectations that you have for them are unfair by default. So, yeah, just to bring it back to the pitcher's duel tonight, hey, for some, if you like pitching, great. For me, it's a reminder that, oh, boy, the Astros offense, it takes a while to get going, and you've seen it highlighted the last two nights against the Royals, who have some good pitching and a good bullpen. It took the Astros until the sixth, seventh, the second, third time through the lineup to finally get moving, and pitcher's duels are not the games that you should be in when you have the bats that at least exist conceptually in our minds in this lineup.
Yeah, we thought that at the very least the top of this Astros lineup was going to be the strength of this team. Like when we talked about this team during the offseason, we talked a lot about the starting pitching. We talked a lot about the bullpen, basically outside of Abreu and Hader at the end of the bullpen, were like, oh my God, who's going to join these two guys as a trusted bullpen arm? And we talked about the outfielders who are going to be in the bottom of the lineup. We really didn't give a lot of talk about Altuve, Yordan, even Christian Walker, Paredes, and Yiner Diaz. We thought, like, oh yeah, that's 1-5. That's going to be what the Astros can hang their hat on. And really, besides Paredes the last couple games, or just
at Daikin Park,
yeah. Someone should tell him that, like, hey, I know you should feel comfortable at Daikin Park. You should be more comfortable wearing an Astros jersey at Globe Life Field in Arlington.
Yeah, that's batting practice for the Astros.
And maybe show them some clips from 2023. But
yeah, listen to Dave Raymond, the Rangers broadcaster, being sad. That's another fun part about this series. Yeah, don't worry, Dave, I will Raymond. Be DVRing the Rangers broadcast so I can get sad Dave Raymond, which amuses me because he used to be an Astros broadcaster.
Yeah,
I think.
And he wears his heart on his sleeve.
He really does. You can tell what he says when he's like, ugh.
That's Martin Maldonado's second home run of the night.
Yeah, that one. Boy, twist the knife a little bit. Give it up 2 to Martin Maldonado.
Yeah, but I mean, this Astros lineup, the guys that have been hitting have been Jeremy Pena and Jake Myers. That's been the consistent guys through the first part of the season. And that's not what we thought we were signing up for with this Astros team. The guys who have struggled the most are the middle-of-the-order bats. It's Yordan when he was healthy. It's Christian Walker. It's Yiner Diaz. So those guys getting back on track, or as soon as they can get back on track, that I think is really going to at least hopefully help alleviate some of the anxiety that we have watching the Astros
for sure
strike out a bunch.
That's Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Hunter Brown's looking great. Jacob DeGrom not looking like he does in a Mets uniform, as Desert Stroh points out. All that's true. But what if he does tonight? It's certainly possible tonight.
I mean, the Joe Blow that they had, the Royals had the last couple nights, so they looked all right.
I think the guy who pitched last night for
Michael
the Royals,
Lorenzen, yeah.
Michael
I've
Lorenzen,
I've actually
pretty
heard
good.
Of,
yeah.
I've heard of him.
But I don't think he's like he's not a killer. DeGrom was a killer.
Yeah.
3-1 with a 2.72 ERA, 46 strikeouts, which is 40th across baseball to this point. So that's neato. But 7 home runs allowed this year.
Okay, there you go.
That's got me going.
Jeremy Pena, do your thing.
Jeremy Pena going young
right
against
at
the Rangers.
7-10 tonight.
Tonight, right. It is weird that they're playing on a Thursday. It felt like last year they never played on a Thursday.
They really did. Yeah.
And now it's a 4-game series in Arlington against the Texas Rangers. Should I demand a sweep?
4-game sweep is.
I know. They haven't done that yet.
No.
I mean, I'm still waiting for something that I've asked for. And I'm sorry to be greedy, but like once you've tasted the top, you can't go down to the bottom. And the Astros this season have yet to sweep an American League team based in the United States of America. They have yet to do that. The only sweep that they have this year is against the Toronto Blue Jays from April 21st through April 23rd. I was at home. But, I mean, they lost 2-3 on the road against the White Sox. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, that really took the wind out of the sail.
Right, because we were excited for – I mean, they had lost 2-3 against the Royals, and they were struggling to score runs, but they took 2-3 against the Tigers, and you're like, all right.
Yeah.
Tigers are good.
And you pencil in at least 2 wins against the White Sox. If not, you pencil in all 3.
But then you lose a 7-inning game in Chicago against the White Sox
because they
of stupid-ass rain.
They pulled the lights out like University of Washington did.
Yeah.
It was actually
honestly,
rain.
That, if they were playing at that old ballpark that they used to, like Comiskey Park, talk about dumps. Comiskey Park was an all-time dump. Hey, let me tell you about the south side of Chicago. Anyway, Sean Mapes is behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. You want to jump in the most interactive sports talk show in town? 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Astros Rangers on the table. The idea of Giannis Antetokounmpo with the Houston Rockets does seem to be trending in the more likely direction. And the Texans' schedule is out. All of that on the table on the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
Follow ESPN Houston on social media at ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Want to get freaked out a little bit before Astros Rangers tonight? So first, there's this, and I am not a weatherman. Okay, I'm just a man who reads what he is told about the weather. But damaging winds and hail are coming to the Dallas-Fort Worth area tonight. A cold front is pushing Thursday into North Texas and is going to hang around the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex Friday with the additional possibility of hail and heavy winds. So luckily, the Rangers play indoors now and not at that weird-ass donut. It was a fancy-looking donut, but a donut nonetheless. It was outside. So we'll see if the Astros and Rangers have to play through a storm, perhaps a power outage or something like that, huh? But this will freak you out even more. I have no idea what this is, But astronomers, Sean, stop laughing. This is serious.
I'm nervous. I don't know if Independence Day is about to happen. The way you're, I don't know what these signs. I don't know what they mean. This is just what I'm reading.
Oh, this is just what I'm reading. Okay, but get this, astronomers weren't far off with the Independence Day. Astronomers saw something happen on the sun. On Tuesday.
Oh, God.
A bird wing eruption. It sent waves of superheated plasma surging across the sun's northern hemisphere. This thing is 600,000 miles long and more than twice as long as the distance from the Earth to the moon. So this is a big old bird wing eruption from the sun. You know?
Okay.
It's like an eagle scream. Scientists predict part of this eruption could hit Earth tomorrow.
Jesus.
I'm like, this is terrifying, dude. This is the scariest thing I've ever read.
What? The sun can just do that?
I guess so. The sun, every now and then, it's like, hey, buddy.
Tomorrow?
Apparently tomorrow.
What?
Well, listen, I'm not sorry,
astronomers. Can we get 48 hours?
Astronomers say Earth will probably receive a glancing blow from the wake of the passing storm.
Christ.
But the full force of this eruption could trigger a severe or even extreme geomagnetic storm. Just as Astros Rangers gets underway, the stakes are the highest they've ever been. Listen, we'll probably be okay, right? There'll probably be some storms somewhere. But this could be the last Astros-Rangers game ever.
I just don't like the phrase geomagnetic storm.
I don't.
That's just like,
that?
I don't want that.
Is that like extreme lightning storms or something? I don't know.
Who can know? Who could possibly know?
Astronomers.
Apparently not. They didn't know until they woke up this morning.
It might hit us.
That there's going to be a geostorm tomorrow.
The geomagnetic storm. Hang on.
Geomagnetic storm.
Geostorm tomorrow. Is the movie with the yes. guy that...
Gerard Butler,
right. That guy. The guy who's in a bunch of things.
He's in a bunch of movies like Geostorm, yes.
And he's almost memorable, but he's not quite memorable.
You think like, wait, is that Russell Crowe? No, wait, that's Gerard Butler.
He was in a movie about the end of the world with Marina Baccarat called Greenland. I actually watched the beginning of this. This is where the you know what happens at the beginning? The astronomer's like, there's going to be a comet passing by. And guess what? The comet hits Tampa Bay. Gone.
Ouch.
That's gone.
Nice. Is that when you turned it off?
No. I kept watching after that. I was like, whoa, end of the world? Damn. Crazy. So there you go. 713-780-3776 right. to call to text.
Hug your loved ones.
I'm not saying that. I saw these two things in the commercial break, and I'm like, damn, at the same time as Astros Rangers? Is this a sign? Big storms in the DFW, a solar flare. Like, it sounds like if the apocalypse is going to happen anywhere tomorrow. Like, if you can make a bet on where will the apocalypse take place today? If you're into that, you can bet on Dallas.
All right.
Of course, I'll see if I can put
that bet in.
It would end in that hellhole. Like, of course, it ends in Dallas, the place that got a president killed. 713-780-3776 to call the text on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Sean Martinez says, they call Gerard Butler when they can't get Jason Statham. Oh, damn.
He very much gets the first pick of the leftovers for action movie, as action movies go. Where it's like, these aren't the bottom of the barrel, but this is definitely not the top of the barrel.
It's time for How Far is Too Far, every single Thursday at 2:30.
Paul Gallant asks a simple question. How far is too far?
Yeah, we're definitely outside the box now, huh? You got to ask yourself, how far are you willing to go?
All right. Is this too far? Is allowing Nick Cage to play John Madden in a movie that also features Christian Bale as Al Davis, is that too far? I mean, I don't know that I'll be able. I'm excited for Nick Cage. I love Nick Cage. Sometimes ironically, sometimes 100%. I don't think I'm going to be able to separate Nick Cage and John Madden. I'm going to see Nick Cage playing John Madden, which means the movie could be amazing unintentionally, but maybe he will be a good John Madden. I'm just having a hard time imagining Nick Cage talking about Turducken and actually pulling off Madden voice. Oh, boom! Like, you got to pull off the Madden voice.
Yeah, the voice is imperative, especially because, like you, when I see him dressed up as John Madden, I just think that's Nick Cage dressed up as John Madden. Like, his face, like, that's just Nick Cage's face. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that. So, I think he needs to nail the voice. No questions about Christian Bale's ability to play Al Davis. I think he'll be fantastic. Which helps me buy into this movie. It adds a lot of legitimacy to this movie. That
same.
You'll have Christian Bale giving, I assume, a real performance.
He signed on to this script. It can't be that bad.
Yes, this won't be Nick Cage slop, but I need Nick Cage to pull through one more time.
The thing that would work against someone like Frank Caliendo, the comedian who's great at impressions from doing a Madden, and Caliendo was famous for doing a John Madden impression on Mad TV before he really blew up as the impression guy. Sadly, Frank Caliendo is not a tall guy. Madden's a big guy. Madden was 6'4".
Yeah, was he an offensive lineman?
John Madden, you know what? I forget. He played for the Eagles in 1959, but only during the offseason as a practice squad guy. He played, let's see, what position did he play? Tackle, you're right, offensive lineman. And he was drafted in the 21st round of the 1958 NFL draft.
Wow.
I guess there were less teams back then, so it's the NFL.
And a lot more people were just like, no thanks.
Right.
I don't want to go to this.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I don't want to get drafted. I'd rather work at the mill or whatever.
Yeah. So, he's a big guy.
Yeah.
Frank Caliendo's small. Nick Cage is 6 feet tall.
He can pull it off.
So, he can pull it off at least from the look.
The size. The body. It's just the face. It's Nick Cage's face. Like, it looks like it is photoshopped. Like, it looks like it's a picture of John Madden with Nick Cage's face photoshopped on it. So,
yeah.
I'll give it a chance. I think he can do a good job. But I, like you, share my reservations that for 2 hours I'm going to be sitting there saying, that's Nick Cage.
How far is too far continues. I'm with you. Would you take $25 to $32 an hour to hold spots in line so that somebody else could go inside and watch the Diddy trial? Because that is what's happening right now. There are massive lines outside the Diddy trial. There's all sorts of commotion happening outside of it, too, because they can't televise it since the federal trial. $25 to $32 an hour to just sit in line and wait for somebody else. I feel like if I'm getting in line, I'd want to go myself. I think I need more than $25 to $32 an hour. So at what point would you say this is enough? I think $100 an hour I would do.
I was thinking 75.
Okay.
I was thinking like 75 an hour. Because I'm...
Scab.
Yeah, exactly. 99. No. I think, like you, I don't know. Seems like it would be boring. Because you're doing all the boring part. The only exciting thing is, like you said, the people watching outside the courthouse. But even then, doing that for $30, like, doing it for 1 hour and you have $30 afterwards, like, that's nothing. That's two trips to Chipotle. That's $30. So I'm going to need a little bit more.
I'm with you on that one. Also, how far is too far? Is this too far by the defense attempting to defend Diddy? The defense that they're going to use is this. He was a freak into freaky stuff. And had friends who were freaky and liked that too. Everything was consensual, including the video of that girl that got Ray Rice outside of the elevator.
That was part of it too?
That was just freaky stuff.
Okay.
Freaky stuff. It's part of a consensual swinger lifestyle, not criminal conduct. His legal team argues the sexual encounters, and you can read the details online if you so choose, including the so-called, quote, freak-offs, end quote, were consensual events involving adults who willingly participated in these gatherings. Do you think this would work, or is this too far by the lawyers? Honestly, with all I know about this, which is more than I would like to, I think that this is the only way they can go. So I think it's exactly as far as it needs to go. But goodness gracious, imagine being a defense attorney and saying, yeah, my client is into this stuff, and so are his friends. They're just freaks. They're dirty freaks.
Yeah. That's my take as well.
And gentlemen of the court, my client is a pervert, as they say. God forbid, this man would not be allowed in church on Sundays. He is a pervert, I say.
And not just him. Everyone else there, also, giant pervert.
Yeah.
They're all pervert. No matter what they're having to do, they're a pervert and they liked it. Hey, listen. Did he made a lot of money in his life? He can afford very good lawyers. This is as good as you're going to get with the case that they're handed, that this is the best spin zone that they could make. And honestly, like, I'm not going to say I could never see this working. Like, this might work. I don't know. Crazy things have happened.
They have. How far is too far? One last one. Is this bleep post that was posted on Astros Twitter, which is a hellscape within a hellscape, was this too far? Because it was clearly done as rage bait. And there's some posts that are out there that are clearly rage bait. But this is what was suggested. The Astros make a trade with the San Francisco Giants. They get Justin Verlander and cash considerations for right fielder / third baseman Cam Smith, shortstop Bryce Matthews, and right-handed pitcher AJ Blueball. Is posting that too far? I thought it was funny. I assumed everyone who saw it would think it was a joke because there's like a graphic that shows the trade online. A lot of people seem to believe that this is actually an idea that's being floated out there, including when I retweeted it by just saying like, whoa, two eyeball emojis for it. People seem to think this is a real offer. Did I go too far in reposting this? Should I stop trolling on my ex? Should I be more serious? Should I be less sarcastic on the internet and on this radio show?
No, I would never say that. It's got to be you, Paul. But if I was Dana Brown, I'd be insulted by the fact that people thought this was real. I think that's what it is. Or
like
Jim Crane.
Rumor, right.
Or Jim Crane. That if people look at this and think it's possible, that is a reflection on their lack of faith in Astros' decision-making.
They kind of did this with Yusei Kikuchi. They kind of did it.
Yeah. But it was Loperfido. And Jake Bloss.
But we were excited about Lo Perfido at the time.
They were.
Bloss was the last thing in the...
Will Wagner.
Yeah, Billy Wagner's kid. That part was like, all right, whatever. Everyone was like, what? But it was three guys for one. Didn't matter to the Sugar Land Space Cowboys, at least.
No, they kept trucking without.
One time, two time, three time champions last year. Space Cowboy Lasso. I don't know.
Pew, pew.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. It's weird.
Because
they got laser pistols.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for picking up what I was trying to do. Not a real pistol, laser pistol.
Laser pistols. What was that movie? There was a movie where it was Harrison Ford and he's like a sheriff and there's aliens invading or something.
Cowboys vs. Aliens?
Yeah. Or was it Daniel Craig? I forget.
They were both in that movie.
Oh, they were both in it.
It was an awesome movie.
It was actually awesome?
No, not really.
Okay, I was about to say.
But it had both of them in it.
Hell yeah.
And Olivia Wilde.
Oh. Yeah. Pre-Sudeikis or during Sudeikis or post-Sudeikis?
Either pre or during.
Okay. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. That's
if you want to know more about
far.
Cowboys vs. Aliens.
Cowboys vs. Aliens. Is that too far of a reference to go back in time to make? Up next, we've got a little garbage time before we get out of here. It is the Paul Gallant Show. Astros and Rangers, you want to talk about that with the Houston Texans schedule release, you can. Stick around. ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is the Paul Gallant Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Last chance to dance. The Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975, on X at ESPN 975. You can catch clips after the fact on our TikTok at ESPN 97, at ESPN, I think, dot 97.5. I think there's a dot actually added on the TikTok handle. And that's interesting.
Someone took ESPN 975?
They did.
What the hell, Sam?
I don't know.
I'm blaming Sam.
I don't think it's Sam's fault.
Probably not. But
I think.
Can I blame Sam?
I think someone lost the password. What? I don't know, though. I'm not 100% sure. Because I definitely have seen it out there. And I think. I don't know. I don't know what happened. But we have an account. Just follow the one with the people on it. We're doing something crazy on it tomorrow. I'm excited about that. From what I've been told, at least. The rumor is we're doing something fun on it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, lots of ways to follow us here, and you can jump aboard the show in a variety of different ways. We are the most interactive sports talk show in town. Easiest way to get in contact with me is by calling or texting, but you can also make comments on our YouTube or Twitch and watch along with the show. You can get after us on the gram at Sports Gallant, at Sean A. Mapes Behind the Glass for X, at Gallant Says For Me on X, and on Facebook at ESPN Houston at Paul Gallant Sports. We are super interactive. No matter what way you want to talk, we'll bring you in. So Astros-Rangers begins tonight. You got Hunter Brown. You got Jacob DeGrom. I'm hoping it's not a pitcher's duel. I want it to be batting practice again at Globe Life Field in Arlington. Will it be? I do not know, because the Astros offense has been sus of late, especially without Yordan Alvarez.
Do we have a demand for this game? Or do you want to save it for the entire series? Or
the demand tonight is to just win, baby.
Okay.
And then we'll take a look at the weekend to determine whether or not we can realistically ask for our first sweep of an American League team of the year. Because the only team they've swept this season are the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yes. Or this is a four-game series, so they could win three straight in this series without it actually being a sweep.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of ways out of this, but yes, I think a win tonight would go a long way for us and the psyche of Astros fans everywhere. Basically, every win would go a long way for the psyche of Astros fans until the next game, and then psyche back on the line. But I think they have a chance. Obviously, with Hunter Brown out there, that's who you'd want if you're the Astros pitching game one.
Also, Texan schedule's out.
Oh yeah. How did we not talk about this?
The release video I thought was lame. I think they've got more creative people on the social media team than that. I tell it to their face. And I'm sorry, social media savant Sam Rico, but I have no idea who the Mexican OT is, or Liza Koshy. Koshy? No idea. Don't want to know. Don't care. Garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
Ah, I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Houston ranks number 7 amongst most polluted cities in the United States of America. Top 10, baby. Clutch city.
Honestly, I'm surprised we're number 7.
Clutching at your throat city, because the allergens and the pollution in the air.
Yeah, I thought we'd be top 3 at least. I'll settle for 7.
Houston, Pasadena ranks 7 out of 228 metropolitan areas. It's Houston, Pasadena.
Oh, they're counting Pasadena. How are we not top 3 of Pasadena?
Yeah, let's just cut Pasadena out of here.
Oh, they won't be on the list.
On the American Lung Association's most polluted cities by ozone. I don't know what that means. Between 2021 and 2023, the Houston region's annual weighted average of high ozone days was 34.8. Ozone air pollution can be referred to as smog and can cause lung inflammation. Wait, I thought ozone was good. Don't we want the ozone layer or something?
The ozone layer. Yeah, that's good.
But not ozone.
No. Ozone pollution.
Gotcha. Well, we got a lot of that going on. Not surprising, there's refineries.
Again,
everywhere.
Growing up, I always thought that we were fighting with LA for number 1 most polluted city in America. So this is actually surprising to me that they're number 7.
Hell yeah, dude. Yeah. And so shout out to Houston for not being number 1 overall at this.
Also, you know? Let's cut out Pasadena.
Yeah,
get
Pasadena
on that.
Doesn't count. Also, get this, guys. If you've seen this video, police will not charge a couple that went viral for towing their truck, where the car that they were towing was basically like a windshield wiper going back and forth across two lanes of traffic as they were trying to tow it. The people who were driving the car said they could not afford a tow truck, so they towed the vehicle themselves using a chain. In the middle of the vehicle, the sedan's axle broke off, leading to what was shown on video. By the way, the driver was arrested for an active warrant he had out in Georgia, but no citations given out for this, towing a car that was wildly swerving back and forth on the highway, endangering everybody around it.
Yeah, I'll be honest. When I first saw this video, I thought that it was just driving in reverse like that.
Yeah.
And I was
he's trying to escape.
I was a little impressed by how well they were driving backwards. I was like, wow, they haven't killed themselves yet.
They couldn't afford a tow truck, and they destroyed their car in doing so.
Probably more expensive than a tow truck.
Would agree. Just
not to Monday morning quarterback this.
Also, this guy, again, had a prior warrant out, so he's arrested. So, whoops. Sean Mays by the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Big thanks to everybody who tuned in. Big thanks to our Twitchers, YouTubers, callers, texters, and everyone else who listened. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Thursday. Killer Bees are next. Peace!
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.